So good morning. It is wonderful to be here this morning. It is a warm, sunny day. First day of 2023. We're all hopeful that this year might hold a bit more promise for us than last year, although I tend to think it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss, but we'll see how things go. But it's nice to have many of you here. We haven't seen in a while, some of you from sickness, so it's good that we have some of that sickness cleared up, and it's just good to be here this morning.
Amen.
I want to talk about words this morning. I don't know if that's irony. I'm not sure. Is that ironic? A word is a sound or series of sounds that conveys meaning. I think that's the most basic definition. It allows us to, a word or words allow us to communicate our thoughts to other people. Think about what life would be like if we did not have words and we did not have the ability to use words and understand words. And what does it take to understand those words? Well, it takes all of us kind of agreeing on meanings of those words, doesn't it? If we all had different meanings for every word, then we wouldn't be able to communicate either. So, to add to the definition of a word being a sound or series of sound that conveys meaning, we might want to insert in there an agreed upon meaning. So, what we convey when we speak to each other using words is an agreed upon meaning for those words. You think about the time at Babel, or Babel, however you want to pronounce it, where God confused the ability of people to use their words to communicate with each other. And now we have a whole new multitude of words that people can't understand, can't agree on definitions for. So God confused their ability to use words to convey their thoughts. They could not communicate their thoughts between them. And so I think in a case like that, we realize how important words are and how powerful words are. Think about when you can't talk, if you lose your voice or whatever the circumstance might be. How hard is it to communicate to people what you want, what you're thinking, what you need? How hard is it to communicate when you cannot use words to do it? When we're reduced to sign language or something like that, that we have to try to communicate what we need from people or want from people. We realize the power that is in words. We have expressions such as the pen is mightier than the sword that reflect the idea that words contain even more power than physical weapons. And so I want to think about what the Bible says about words this morning. I want to trace the power of words through the scriptures this morning. And we're obviously going to start out with God. If we think about Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, for instance, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What's the important point of that verse? Well, the important point of that verse is, "Then God said." Those three words communicate to us the fact that God has power through His speech, through His words. "God said" is found 10 times at least in Genesis chapter 1. "And God said," "then God said." And Peter talks about this, Peter alludes to this in 2 Peter 3:5 when he says, "By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water." What was it that created the world? It was the power of God expressed through words. God spoke it, and it came into existence. God spoke it, and it came to be. God created all things by the power of the word that He spoke. He spoke and it was so. Another expression we often see is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Abram in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Moses declared to the people, "The word of the Lord." In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 5, the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 11. We see that expression throughout the Old Testament, the word of the Lord. And we also, as I've mentioned before, realize that In many cases, this word was conveyed by God directly to people. Directly to people. God spoke this word somehow, conveyed these words that he had to say directly to people, to messengers and to various people. He revealed his thoughts in words. And you might say, well, obviously. Well, think about that reality, though. God gave us the ability to communicate. He gave us the ability as human beings to have patterns of communication that we can come up with. These things that we have invented that we call words and languages. And so now we're able to communicate to each other. But it is from God that these things come. It's originated from God. And this ability originates from God in our makeup. So he revealed his thoughts in words to his messengers. In fact, we have his word revealed to us today in the Bible. That is God's word, when we think about that. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the oft-quoted verse, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And I think sometimes we look at that verse and we think this is what he's talking about, right? This is the word of the Lord. No, he's not limiting it to this. Anything that God speaks, anything that God has spoken, fits into this verse. Everything that God has said is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Not everything that God has ever said to anybody or conveyed to anybody is revealed for us in this book. We know that's the case. John even tells us that about Jesus. If Jesus performed many, many, many more miracles that aren't recorded in the book, think of all the things that Jesus said that aren't recorded in the book. So God is the originator of words, the word. God is the originator of all these things. And we know that as time went by, God spoke to those people who were called prophets. He spoke to messengers that would convey his word to other people. And so we start to read the expression, "Thus says the Lord," where someone can come and talk to the people and say, "These are the words of God. Thus says the Lord." And we see that over and over and over again. When you read the prophets like Jeremiah, that expression is just constant. "Thus says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God." Always to his people. Through the prophet. I've said before, if you read Ezekiel, you know that God allowed him only to chastise the people or to convey messages to the people that were his word. The only thing that he can convey to the people is the word of the Lord. That's it. And so he goes to the people and he says, "Thus says the Lord," when he's not acting it out, right? And of course, then we come to the time of Jesus. We know that Jesus is said to be the word. What does that mean? John chapter 1 and verse 1. He is the very word of God in the flesh. God is the originator of word. God is the one who has power in word. And now we've got him coming in the flesh, who was the word. As Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How could that ever have been conveyed adequately? Think about what other way might God have conveyed this idea, this approval of the things that needed to be approved at that point. One, Jesus. Two, John's baptism. How could God have conveyed that? Well, I think the easiest way and the most powerful way is to speak it from heaven. His words rang forth from heaven. Can you imagine sitting watching Jesus being baptized and all of a sudden this voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"? There's power in those words. There's authority in those words. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount spoke of the old law and then he said, "But I say to you." And so now what we have is the word embodied in flesh. The word of God embodied in flesh saying to people, "But I say to you." You have heard it said this way, but now I say to you this. Jesus says of his words in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus passed away in the sense that Jesus is no longer walking on this earth. He's no longer with us in body. But his word lives on. His word continues. It is the power of this word that we have that continues on in our lives, even though Jesus is no longer here with us. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, in fact, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Think about that for a moment. Is there power in those words? There is the power of life and death in those words. The words that Jesus speaks are the words that are going to judge us in the last day. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, as an example of the power of words, when Jesus is with his apostles on the sea and the storm comes up, and they're scared, and they get him. And it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. All Jesus had to do was say, peace, be still. And it was so. Just as God in the very beginning said, let there be light, and it was so, Jesus said, peace, be still to the weather, and it was calm. Because he had power in his words. Pause for a moment here. One might say, well, the power is in the miracles. I mean, the miracles are the power, right? Well, the miracle came from the word. The miracle originated from the word. He spoke, and those things happened. Just as we see him healing people constantly, many times, many, many times, all Jesus has to do is say, here, be healed, right? This morning in Bible study class, when we looked at that passage of the blind man at the very end, what happened? Jesus says, receive your sight. That's all he had to say. Receive your sight. There was power in those words. Think about the occasion when the fishermen were out fishing all night and had not caught anything. And they came in and they were tired and who knows what else. Maybe they needed to mend their nets or whatever needed to happen. But they had had a hard night fishing, not gotten anything. And Jesus tells them, well, go ahead and lower your net over there. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Because you say it, I will do it. Because you say it, I will do it. And then, of course, we understand that this word carries through to the apostles. Before he preached his first gospel sermon, Peter said to the multitudes, heed my words. You know, think about that. We say in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first gospel sermon. How would he have done that without words? How would he have done that without the ability to speak? Now, I know people can communicate. We can communicate without words, but just think about that for a moment. What Peter was able to do. In fact, the miracle that happened there allowed them to be able to speak in other people's words. Words that they didn't know. Words they didn't understand. And yet they were still able to speak in those words and convey this message to the people that were assembled there. I always think about Cornelius, when Peter goes to Cornelius. What was supposed to happen? Well, you know, what was supposed to happen there? You know, we think, oh, well, Peter was supposed to go there and he was supposed to baptize all of those of the household of Cornelius. That was what was supposed to happen there. That's not what was supposed to happen there. What was supposed to happen there was Peter was going to preach to them words whereby they could be saved. That's what was supposed to happen. Now, thankfully, what resulted from that was what is supposed to result from that when people preach those words. That response is supposed to result from that. But Peter was supposed to go there and preach the gospel to them. Say the words. In Jude 17, Jude says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." The words. It's all about the words. It's all about these words. Everything that has happened in life comes from words. In fact, we understand that even bad things in life have come from words. Think about how many wars have been started. How have they started? Because of words. Because of things that people have expressed. The bad, the horrible things that happened in the 20th century. How did they start? Because of thoughts of men and doctrines that became expressed in words. We think that words don't have power. We can see all around us how much power words have. And then we say to ourselves, what about us? Did this end with the apostles? And of course, you know the answer is no, it didn't end with the apostles. We may not receive our words in the same way that the apostles received them, but we still have words that have power. We still have power in our words. If we can speak and speak a language, we can convey the power that is in those words. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, we are told, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." The Bible talks a lot about words. The Bible talks a lot about how we use words, how important words are. Think about the fact that you have, the same as Paul did, this treasure in earthen vessels. We are all earthen vessels. We are but clay and pottery. We are frail. And yet what is inside of us is a treasure. What is that treasure? Words. How did God choose to save the world? By words. And by that I mean how do people come to know what God did? How do people come to know that Jesus died? By words expressed regarding that. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." When we think about what James says in chapter 3 about the tongue and the power of the tongue, why would James talk so much about it if that were not the case? If we did not have the power ourselves of those words to do those things, those mighty things. Just as a spark kindles a forest, starts a forest fire, and we've seen plenty of those in recent years, the tongue can do the same thing. Words can, and the tongue is words, words can do the same thing. The words that we say can do exactly the same thing. And the Bible makes that very clear over and over and over again. We need to understand that we have power in our words. That God has given us power. You know, I understand that it's not exactly what Paul was talking about, but he says, God has given us a spirit of power, not of timidity. And think about that for a moment. You know, many of us, when we're confronted with opportunities to teach people the gospel, as Peter did to the household of Cornelius, or whatever form that takes, what happens? We say, I don't have any power. I'm powerless. I don't have the power. In essence, kind of saying, well, you know, God hasn't given me enough to do this. When God says, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do it through words. You're going to speak words. How hard is that? How hard is that? Our speech is powerful to save. Not with persuasive words of human wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. It's not about how fancy your words are, how well delivered they are. It's not about any of that. The power isn't in my ability to convey flowery language, things that you might want to hear in ways that you want to hear. It's about the words that we use. It's about the things that we say. That's where the power comes from. It's in the Word. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." What is the gospel of Christ? It's words. It's words that tell what Jesus did for us. It's the words that we use to convey those thoughts to other people. That's what God says to us. Take these words. It's the same thing he said to the apostles, right? Go teach. Take these words and go out and tell other people these words. Excuse me. The gospel is conveyed in words, and these words convey the power of God to save. This is God's plan. How many times have you heard me or other preachers say, there is no plan B. There's no backup plan. God didn't say, well, if this doesn't work, then we'll try something else. God said, here's what I did. I've made salvation possible for everyone, and all you have to do is respond in repentance and baptism. But then what you need to do is you need to tell other people to do the same thing. You need to tell them why, and you need to tell them to do exactly the same thing. God chose to offer salvation to all of us through words. Think about how you came to the truth. It was because someone told you these words. Someone spoke these words to you. And then you repented and you were baptized and you became a Christian and you realized you were saved and you had a hope of heaven eternal. And then you think back. It was because of the words that someone spoke to me. Somebody took the time and actually spoke those words of power to me. The failure comes when we do not speak. The failure comes when we become mute, when we don't use those words. We tend to think, and I have to admit that many times I think the same way, that if I use the wrong words, but then again it comes back to the method, the means, right? If I don't say it the right way, if I don't put the thoughts together exactly correctly, that's not the failure. I think there were people who probably made mistakes who tried to teach the gospel over the years. Most of the people you know that you would regard as preachers who've been preaching for a long time, who probably are well respected in the body, have probably made mistakes in the way that they said things to other people. That's just the way of human nature. So the failure is not in saying the words in a way that's not exactly correct. In fact, nobody's really established what the correct way is, have they? I mean, I wish I could stand up here and say, this is what you have to say. Like when I took the insurance class, well, I went to an insurance agency and interviewed for a job. And the guy who was standing there must have been wearing about $1,000 worth of clothes. And he said to me, this is what you say. And he gave me a script. From hello to goodbye, this is exactly what you say. You don't deviate from that script. I mean, I wish we had something like that, right? I wish I could hand that out and say, here's what you say. When you meet somebody, say this, say this, say this, say this, and they'll respond. It doesn't work that way. Nobody has hit upon the perfect words, the perfect sequence of words, the perfect intonation of the words. Nobody has come across that exact perfect way of conveying those words. And there's a reason for that. Because everybody's different. Everybody's different. And we're all going to convey these things in different ways that are unique to us. But we're still conveying the same words. We're not using different words. It's only these words that convey this power. The failure comes when we refuse to speak. When we do not stand up for the truth. When we do not teach someone the gospel if we have opportunity. When we do not profess Jesus. The Bible speaks about our willingness to profess Jesus. If we confess or profess Him, He confesses us, professes us before the Father. And the converse of that is true too. If we don't confess Jesus before men and profess Him before men, He will not profess us before the Father. Think about Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can anyone be expected to become a Christian if they have never heard the words that God has given to us that have all of this power to save? How can anyone become a Christian if they have not heard the truth? We need to realize that our speech is powerful. Many times we talk about our speech being powerful in a way that it might hurt someone, in the way that it might cause someone trouble, tear down that person. Many times we think that that's the case. But the reality is that we have just as much power in our speech, in those words, to help someone come to know the truth and be saved. Let us remember that we have treasure within ourselves, and that treasure is the Word of God. And let's not be afraid to speak the Word of God to others. Let our conversations be about things like the Bible rather than about the weather or about golfing or about the Super Bowl or whatever it might be. If we can talk about those things, there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to talk about the Word of God to other people. It's just a matter of opening our mouths and speaking those words. And I want to encourage you to that end this morning. As I said, this year we're going to talk a bit more about evangelism. We're going to talk a bit more about being doers and try and work on some of those kinds of things. And so let us get used to the idea that we are ambassadors, messengers of Christ. These things are important for us to understand because this is what God wants of us. All right, the lesson is yours. If in any way you have need this morning that should be made known, that we might be able to help you or pray for you in some way, please make that need known as we stand and sing.